Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze. Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze. Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.
All right, the wait is finally over. Baseball season is here at last. That means everybody's peeing all over Wrigley Field. That means the Mets are getting their hopes up, only to be crushed inevitably. Fights you seem to be riding pretty high with the with opening day with the Red Sox. How they've been playing since then?
They played poorly last night, but any other day, literally any other day, they have three more home runs last night.
They're mashing, right?
They were mashing again. It was just like a big headwind coming in from left field at Philly, and it was fucking shitty weather. Oh, we're in the middle of an app, aren't we? We're not just talking.
Yeah, no, that's okay. So what you can do is, if you want to play some DraftKings right now, the Red Sox are a safe bet. They're absolutely slugging. Adrian Gonzalez is playing out of his mind. It's another hot name to pick. How are your bats doing in Chicago, Big Cat?
Bad.
All right, well, that should probably turn around. So head over to DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. There's no season-long commitments. It's like a brand new season every single time you play. You just pick two pitchers and eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to an enormous payday. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code KFC to play for free. You could win your part of $300 million in prizes being awarded this baseball season. Use promo code KFC for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. I got to talk a little more about the Wrigley Field disaster. The piss everywhere was one of the funniest things I've heard in a long time in Major League Baseball.
And the fact that there's a concourse in Major League Baseball with porta potties in it.
Is that standard, or is that just because, like, I mean, that's not.
Then there's not enough bathrooms at work.
Because of this construction, or just like in
Correct.
General? Okay. So it is due to the construction. It's not just that Wrigley's like an old dump. There's a problem. Okay.
Correct.
So we got porta potties. That line of like fans in the game, in the stands, snaking around is mind boggling.
And the cups of piss
on the floor were incredible. Yeah. I mean, the cups of piss that looked like fucking free cups of beer were just.
I love that they set up a pee corner. It was awesome.
I mean, in a way, it's like, it's endearing. It's like Cubs being Cubs, and it's like, hey, we're all at this game together, and we're probably going to get let down this season, and we're all going to piss together too now, apparently, into our beer cups. It's so Chicago.
That, and so, some people might accuse me of being a bad fan here, but if I had to wait in a two-hour line, I'd just go home.
100%.
I would just go to the bar across the street, literally across the street, and sit there and watch the rest of the game there.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't be worth it for me. Like, the minute I had to take a really bad piss, I'd hold it as long as I possibly could. And the minute I had to go, I'd just walk right out.
See, I don't understand how that's even possible. Like, how people even, like some people waited in that line.
Yeah.
Well, when I take a piss, when I take a piss at a game, every single time it's an emergency. I'm like a child. Like, you know, you tell a kid, like, oh, we're getting in the car for a few hours, you should probably pee first. Like, I don't think, like, oh, I'm going to have to pee. I'm getting a dog now. Like, I'll probably have to pee in two or three innings, so I should pee while I'm here. Every time I go to pee, it's an emergency. So I'm, like, running because I've been drinking beer all night. Then I couldn't wait in a five-minute line.
I usually get crazy about it because I don't want to be fucking pinching my dick off like a little kid in the line. So I'm always thinking, like, all right, I have my beer now. I'm going to get cut off at the seventh inning. So here's my next beer trip. I'm going to get food now. And the bathrooms are all planned out somewhere in between there because I just never want to be that guy getting stuck in between. But that being said, there are times where, you know, it just creeps up on you. And if there's a fucking – was it – how long of a line was it really? Like,
it was like an hour and a half.
I mean, that is ridiculous. I don't care how diehard of a fan you are. I don't care what the scenario – I mean, would you – what would have to be on the line for you to hang out in
it has to be a playoff game. And
it would
if
have
it
to
a
be
a playoff game.
I would go as far to say it would have to be like if it's divisional series, I think I'm going home. I'm not going to sit there and piss all over the place and wait for an hour and a half.
A playoff game, if the Cubs were in the playoffs, because it doesn't happen very often, I'd just piss my pants. Legitimately. I would literally just sit there and piss my pants. What do you care? The other thing is, you forgot they fake canceled the game the next night.
So let's talk about that.
It's genius.
They said postponed because of rain, and there was just no rain.
No rain. It was foggy. It rained, like, when I woke up the next day, it had rained a little overnight, but I walked out of my house to walk Stella, and there was no rain, and that was like 11 p.m. And it's genius because now they'll reschedule for the middle of the summer when the bleachers are open, so that's like 20,000 more beers they're going to sell.
Yep.
They'll have more tickets sold. Have more food sold, so they should just do it with every game, every series.
Are they on the road now, or like?
Yeah, they're back. Okay. They're on the road this weekend. I think they come back the weekend after that, or the week after that. So,
okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if we have a couple more sketchy. And Chris Bryant is now gets another day. So
That's right. I mean, honestly, if I saw on the bottom line of ESPN, if I saw a ticker that said postponed, like in parentheses, fucking urine, piss, I'd be like, fine. I would be okay with that if Wrigley was just like, we're canceling the game due to piss. That is a completely valid reason in my mind. As a fan, I would appreciate it. So I don't have to walk around surrounded by people in urine. Let's see. Let's just dive right into it. We're going to start off with what clearly is a fake voicemail, fake story, but it opens up an interesting topic.
Hey, guys. Just wondering, what's that much of a girl? And about, you know, we're in the middle of it, I just stop and suddenly just say to her, hey, I speak Spanish, which I don't speak Spanish, she doesn't speak Spanish. Put the complete halt to the going on. And I just wondered, what's the dumbest thing you guys have ever said to a girl before in the middle of hooking up? Viva.
All right, so clearly a fake story about him hooking up with some chick and what he said, but his question is valid nonetheless. What's the weirdest thing you've said to a chick mid-hookup? Like, you know, have you had like a Seinfeld moment? Like, you know, are those the panties your mother laid out for you? Have you, you know, just ruined the moment by saying something? Put your foot in your mouth in any sort of way? Just the weirdest, most awkward encounter you've had mid-hookup.
I don't think I have one. And that's not a testament to my silky...
yeah, sex speaking. Not like you're some sort of Mac.
I don't say anything just out of fear of that. I don't say a goddamn thing because I know whatever I say will sound idiotic and the anti-sexy.
So you just know your limitations, and you're like, I don't want to say anything to potentially botch this. So I'm just gonna stay quiet until I get in my nut, and then we'll
like,
take it from there.
Like I don't even say like yeah or anything like that. Like, I'm just like we're both here. Neither of us are enjoying this. Let's just get it over with.
are you making any noise, or are you just a mute fights?
I'll like respond to her noise if she made like I'll kind of like play off that, but I'll never instigate the noise.
Dan, any
this is why you drink. Like, because you can basically say everything that's ever happened that's gone poorly, you're just like, oh,
I was drunk.
You're drunk too. This is exactly why people drink. If you get down to like the bare bones, yes, obviously drinking like it tastes good and it's fun to be drunk, but it really comes down to you want to hook up with chicks and you want all your awkward, shitty like game to just be masked by everyone being drunk.
Now, but it's almost like I don't know whether she's going to be drunk or not, but I need to be drunk just so I can play that card. Hopefully
right.
She's drunk so it sounds good to her, but I want to be able to at least blame it on the alcohol when I say something that just completely bombs in bed, just trying to be sexy. I mean, look at us. Look at us right now. Who's sexy? Who in this crew is sexy?
I'd walk through that beautiful door, not the average one.
God, no. Are you kidding me?
I'd
have to sneak in the average.
the notion that the average fucking white dude thinks that he's like sexy or turning a chick on or like really riling her up is just so far fetched. It's so ridiculous. You really think you're fucking hot, dude? You really think you've got like the fucking magic words to make her wet? Give me a fucking break.
No one does. Is there an instance of good sex talk?
Well, I was talking about it on Mail Time this week, how, like, I'll mix things up. I'll get things totally wrong, where I'll be like, oh yeah, put your dick in my pussy. And I'm like, what? No, wait. I'm the guy, you're the girl. So that kind of stuff, like, you try to get too wait, aggressive.
Wait, Kevin, wait, how do you wait, not lead with that wait, as the worst sex wait, talk ever?
Well, that's wait, terrible. I'm here now.
Wait.
Yeah.
I've said put your dick in my pussy?
Yeah, I've mixed up the two before. I mixed up, like, the guy and the girl parts.
That's some Oedipus. Wait. Not Oedipus, but, like...
Freudian slip sort of stuff. Like, yeah,
intentionally?
Yeah.
What?
Like, you intentionally said it to be funny?
No. Just, like, heat of the moment. I'm all fired up, and I say it wrong.
Secretly sound like you want dick, which is fine. I saw you maybe use a gay slur today. I didn't like that. When you were making fun of one of your player's hits. You said that was the gayest hit ever. I was not a fan of that. Don't use the word gay to mean stupid.
No. Daniel Murphy hates gays.
Oh.
So it's you got to know the backstory behind it.
What do you mean he hates gays?
He openly came out and said, I disagree with homosexuals.
That's ballsy. You know what? Like, here's the thing. In 2015, it's totally flipped. Like, I actually kind of respect those guys. Because, like, you're standing alone now. It's yeah. They are the guys who were gay 20 years ago.
The Mets
like,
these guys
20 years ago who were, like, carrying the flag around and, like, having the ribbon, you're like, whoa, that's ballsy, man. Like, don't step out that much. Daniel Murphy now, I respect him.
The Mets
he
had
like, didn't Billy he, like, Bean. Not even, like, meet Billy Bean when he came into the clubhouse?
Yeah, that's how it all started. They had Billy Bean, not that Billy Bean, the original gay Billy Bean come in. And he was nice to him, and everything was polite, and they interviewed him afterwards, Daniel Murphy. And he was like, he's a nice guy. I can get along with him. But he had something so blatant. He was like, I wholeheartedly disagree with his homosexual lifestyle. I was like, oh, Daniel. Oh, my God. Holy
that's
shit.
That's unbelievable. Like, that guy has balls. If you disagree with him, that's fine. I disagree with him, but he has balls, and you have to respect that.
I mean, as far as the, you know, the bad sex talk, I mean, obviously what I just said is terrible. And, but, you know, fights.
You want to know why I don't say anything? Is I grew up, like, I guess I grew up, I guess I was probably like 15 or so when Dane Cook got famous. Mm-hmm. And he had that bit about how, like, guys suck at dirty talk. And that was, like, when I was hitting my sexual renaissance. And, I that just got in my head, and that's twisted me up ever since. I've never talked dirty.
I think it's good that you know that. You know your limitations, and you're playing it safe. That's a good average white guy move to know what you're good at, know your strengths, know your weaknesses, and avoid the weaknesses. It's fine. I think it's a little weird if you sit there mute the whole time, John. But whatever.
No, I mean, like I said, like when I'll play off her sounds, but I'm just not like the yeah baby take it guy. I'm like
no, yeah,
that's not me. That's not my game at all.
That can't be anybody's game who's not like getting paid to do it on camera. You know what I mean? If you're doing that, you sound ridiculous. And to the girls, you know, I appreciate some noise. Have you ever fucked like a screamer or a yes. yelper? And you know, I like it. It's a novelty. It's enjoyable. If it's a regular thing, I used to have a chick who was like,
I'd break up with you.
Like fucking wind her up and just noises coming out of her. After a couple times, it's like, all right, that's enough. I know I'm not pleasing you.
I'd 1,000% break up with it.
But it's still like, better than when a chick that makes no noise.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, that's, like, that's scary.
Yes.
And, that's, and, like, necrophiliac shit.
And I need a little bit of, like, a boost in confidence. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
I could use some help. I don't need to go
I don't need it for the boost in confidence. I need it for, like, the goddamn instruction manual.
No, I need it for...
This is working.
I need it for the fake... Like, I you can fake me all day. I don't give a fuck.
Hell yeah.
It's like the Seinfeld episode when Jerry's all upset he gets faked out. I don't care.
That's the most bullshit episode in history. Did you guys ever care?
No.
Like, he makes it seem like he's the normal guy. Like, ow, you fake with me? Fake your fucking tits off, sweetheart. I really don't. It's not going to affect me one way or the other. Well, actually, it will. It will affect me in the positive.
Hey, so my buddies and I are all a few years out of college, and we were talking here tonight. Realized that none of us use about 99% of the things we ever learned in high school. So just wondering if you could run a school, what would you teach? Like life skills, budgeting, taxes, how to handle social situations and not be an asshole. Thanks.
This is This is a close to home one here.
Oh, yeah? All right. So, you know, this kid realized he didn't learn anything in school for real. If you could open right now the Barstool School of Life, what would you teach?
Oh, everything.
I you know what the biggest thing for me is? Like, if you're going to school, if you're going to college, don't do, like, liberal arts. You'll learn nothing. If you're smart enough, I have friends who, you know, took engineering and shit. Like, they learn how to build shit and how the world works and shit like that. I still am one of the dumbest people I know. So,
that's my only... It sucks, too, doesn't it? Yes. It like, sucks so bad.
Skill. I wish I was a fucking auto mechanic or something. It sounds crazy, but, like, those guys, they know how to do something. Yeah. I don't even know how to do anything.
They have a discernible skill. They went to school and, like, have a career because of it.
Right.
The rest of us assholes got nothing. But, well, Fights, let's go over to you because you seem particularly down about this. You have a lot of smart friends and you're the dummy?
I'm just down on life right now. We kind of just went over this on the rundown. I'm, like, just, like, dude, John, talking with Dan, like, tax season, like,
this is your
I don't know anything.
Crisis,
like, that's one thing I teach, taxes. Like, my sister does my taxes for me, and she's, like, asking for these forms. I'm, like, I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, I don't know what you mean by that. I don't know where I would obtain that form. I don't know who would have given it to me. I don't know where I would be keeping it. I don't know where any of this adult stuff you're talking about is.
Taxes for sure would be one. And just knowing that, like, you're going to get fucking raped sometimes. That first time where they're just like, you owe me $3,000. And you're like, what? What do you mean? It's like, yeah, that happens. Sometimes
you're supposed to pay for my spring break trip. What are you talking about?
Right,
you money?
Right. That first time you get hit with a bad tax return, it is fucking brutal.
Well, you can't, John, I don't know if you do this, Kevin, but, like, I'm now in the clear with taxes. I do the whole home office shit. That's cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, well, this is something I would teach because, like John, I'm like an idiot. When people are like, oh, dude, you can write that off. That's a business expense. You could do this, you could do that. I don't really know what that means. I don't really get it. I sort of understand it, but I don't know how to actually make it happen, and I don't really know how to cash in enough on that. So,
listen,
Dan, maybe you can do my
taxes. I'm riding high tax season until the day I get audited. Then I'm going to put a bullet in my brain because then I can't.
Yo,
there's not a lot that I can do.
There is nothing worse. There is nothing worse than your first tax season after you get married. I got fucking murdered in taxes. He was just like, "Yeah, dude, you're married now. You have like a marriage tax. You have a combined income, and like so now we tax you at like this rate, and you were only paying this all year. So you got to make up the difference." And I like almost fell out of my chair. I almost passed out. I was like, I looked at Caitlin. I was like, why did we get married? I was like, why did we stay friends?
What was the point of that?
We've been like a couple for the rest of our lives, and we have thousands of dollars in our pocket right now, you asshole.
Can I ask you guys a question? I've never done jury duty either.
Me neither.
Nope.
Oh, okay, good. Because I feel like
all
I'm like
of
off.
You're gonna get it now. We just
I'm off the radar. I've never gotten a call from the University of Wisconsin either. Asking me for a donation.
I've gotten that, and that's real bad because there'll be like a bro who's like. Yo, man,
that was me. I used to have that job.
Yeah, but if they call Barstool people, they're like, yo, bro, love the blog, man. And then they're like, you got like any money for a donation? And I'm like,
no, you fucking read the blog, don't you?
Yeah.
I don't have any goddamn money.
And it's like, bro, I'm going to lie to you right now. And usually it's just like some squid at the admissions office. But now I know you're like a reader, so I'm just going to basically tell you I'm cheap. It's not fair. That should all be anonymous.
Let's stop with college questions because they make me so sad.
You're such a fucking downer today.
Let me tell you college kids something right here, right now. You know what college is and enjoy it. Don't worry about what you should have learned. College is a 4-year funeral for your dreams. That's it. When high school ended, like, cause even up until high school, you kind of have like that whole like – you're still like – I don't know – you have your dreams. You have, like, even if you want to be an athlete, like, you're still like, oh, I could maybe be Anthony Davis and fucking grow 6 inches and I'll be, like, I'll be a star soon. And you kind of have that – in the back of your mind, there's that hope that you'll be something someday. And then once you get your high school diploma, it's dead. And then you go to college for 4 years, and that's the funeral. That's the funeral for your dreams. You know, like your friend, like, you've been to a funeral – you're kind of just celebrating. It's like,
Let him go, Dan. Let him get it out.
You're not really thinking about it? yep. how you're like sad. And then when the funeral's over, like 3 days later, you kind of sit by yourself in a room and you start fucking crying because you're like, oh shit, I'm never gonna be that again. That's what fucking college is. 4 years of just drinking your fucking face off because nothing's ever gonna work out the way you want it to. Your life is fucking over.
No, no, no. You couldn't be more wrong.
All right, I'm gonna fucking hang it up.
That was an incredible solution.
How old right are there. You now, John? You're 26. You're gonna be when do you turn 27?
Next August. Or like August. August, yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know what fucking
So this might be also why you're starting to get a little down in the dumps and all this shit. College is great. The first few years after college, I actually think are better because you make money and you still don't fucking really do anything. Like, you have a job, but you don't have a career yet. Mm-hmm. It's when you get to right around now, John. When you start thinking about shit a little bit too hard,
it's like everything's long term now.
Yeah,
like in college, you could be like, I'm just gonna go away for the weekend.
No,
yo, I was sitting there. I was like, what if I just quit?
John.
And then I was like, then I'm unemployed forever. Like, what do you mean? Like, then I just never get another job.
These are new thoughts. You're proving my point. When you get right fresh out of college, you don't give a shit. If you lose your job fresh out of college, you get another one. If, you know, like, you're making some money, if you're making $40,000, you're swimming in it. Because you're probably still living with a bunch of bros. You're just doing whatever the fuck you want. You're taking trips places and shit. Like, you actually can spend money and go visit your friends or go to games elsewhere. Now, when you get to the 27, 28, 29, it, like, all starts to creep in, and it's like...
The thing
is... Never mind past that. We already know. We've already given up.
Yeah.
We're on the other side of it. I actually feel reinvigorated because I'm 30 now. At least I'm not 35.
It's liberating when you just give up. You're just like, well, this doesn't even bother me anymore, John. You'll get there. I remember, I wrote a blog about this. I know exactly what you're going through. I remember one night I walked 65 blocks in Manhattan. I just started walking, and I just was trying to clear my head, and I was like, all I do is drink. I really don't have any major prospects in life. I have no discernible skills, and I had like a little quarter-life crisis, and that's what you're going through right now.
Yep.
And you took it a step further and stopped drinking, which is bad.
Yeah, which is the worst idea.
I respect you for your hustle, and you have honor as a man for trying to fix it, but it's not the right idea because what you need to do is embrace this mediocrity. Embrace this life. It's over.
Because you're also talking about this.
I thought I'd given up, but then the floor gave out. I thought I'd given up, and I was at rock bottom. And then the floor gave out, and there's another one.
We've talked about this before. This is just the age for you where some of your friends start to like separate from the pack, and they have a real career, and they're making shitloads of money, and they're doing. Once I gave up, I was like, all right, well, those guys would be way more successful than I'll ever be in my wildest dreams, and who cares?
You give up, like, the competition. You don't care who makes what. This guy has, like, a wife and a kid, and he's happy. Well, that's good for him. I'm never gonna be that. You just give up, and then you'll never feel bad about yourself when you just accept the fact that you're a loser.
It took us a little bit of time to diagnose. It took us the rundown in the first 20 minutes, but it's clear. You have entered that zone. You are now officially what you think kids graduating college are, which they aren't, but you are now officially graduating the college time frame. It's like, it's extended college after you graduate for a few years. You're done with that.
And especially, it's probably a little more extended being here at Barstool. So, I mean, in college, you're always thinking, like, semester to semester, year to year. You have a bad semester, you can just flip the script, turn over a new leaf in the next one. Even when you're first out of college, it's your first job, you're still thinking short term. Right now, John, you're just staring down the barrel of eternity. And you're saying to yourself, this is it?
Literally eternity.
I love it.
This is what I'm, like, I was driving home yesterday, and I was like, oh, I gotta hurry up and get home so I can, like, fucking vine the Bruins. And I was like, this is what I'm gonna do for the rest of my life.
Yep.
Like, that's what I'm doing
but
for
bro,
the rest of my fucking life.
Here's the good
life.
Thing. I'm
sitting in traffic hoping to get home in time to vine a fucking television. That's what I'm doing for the rest of my life.
Bro, this is the thing, though. this is where you have to realize, and what, and this is, I realized this when I wrote that blog about my breakdown. You are so not alone. There are so many people in that same boat as you. Maybe they're not vining a television, but they're fucking doing an Excel spreadsheet, or they're like some idiot teacher who has to grade papers or whatever it may be. They're just, everyone's like this fucking.
Nah, I know that. I know that.
Once you hit it, John. Once you catch it, it's liberating. It's extremely liberating. Like, I actually had the moment. This is actually a perfect example. When we were at the Final Four, and some Duke fan, like, I bumped into him or something, and he wanted to fight me. It was like some 23-year-old kid. I just looked him in the face. I was like, dude, this is the silliest thing that you have ever done. I was like, this is so silly. And I just walked away. I was like, it's just like a confidence that life is going to suck kind of no matter what. So, like, what are you going to do? Punch me? Okay, then I'll just get up and I'll just keep going along with my life. Like, this is silly. This is all silly.
You stop worrying about being cool and, like, being successful. You wear the
same clothes 4 days in a row.
And in a weird backwards way, you're so okay with it, you kind of do become cool. You're just like the fucking guy who's smelly and drunk being like, you're silly.
I think that's what has really inspired this pitfall for me, is that I think it was my last gas to fix it. Like, I tried to do, like, the healthy thing, and I was like, you know what, this is it. Like, it's like, you got, like, one more try, bud. Like, let's get up this fucking hill. Mm-mm. And here I am, still, like, fat.
This is therapy. This is the KFC Radio Therapy Edition. We are giving you therapy. We're letting you know.
Like I said, I applaud you for trying to stop drinking. I applaud you for trying to get back up that hill. But you rolled back down to the bottom. And guess what? Everyone's at the bottom with you. I'm there. Dan's there. Like, everyone who's in their late 20s is at the bottom of the hill. But me and Dan right now, we're going, fuck that hill. I don't even care about getting up that hill.
You don't understand. Like, I go in public all the time looking like shit. I really don't. What are people going to say at this point? It's like, I'm there. It's over. There's nothing left.
It feels so good.
If you don't think if you don't like me, if you don't think I'm cool, I don't care. Because my life is going to keep being, like, exactly average and plateaued. I'm not going up anymore. I'm probably not going down for another 20 years or so. It's just, boom, just there.
I can see it in your face that this is not really helping you. But you know when you say to yourself, like, I wish – We had this conversation where you said,
you're like, right now you guys are being my doctors and you think you're helping me, but you're just saying, I know exactly how you feel, and you'll feel like that forever.
Well, you know what?
No, wait.
Like,
Dan,
I don't have a medicine for it. I don't have a medicine, but you'll feel like that forever.
You won't feel that way forever. You will continue to be mediocre and pretty lame, but you will just feel okay about it. So your feelings that of you being upset right now will go away. Your mediocrity will continue.
Quiet.
The squirrel. It's the squirrel's fault. Dan, it's the squirrel's fault.
You're stepping – it's actually really – realistically, it's like a two-year process. You're stepping into it right now. You're not going to come out the other end until you're about 28, 29. Mm-hmm. That's when you start to be like, who cares? These next 2 years, you'll go back and forth where you'll be like, I don't care about life. I'm back when I'm 22. And then you'll have moments like now where you're flipping out and you're like, I hate everything. And eventually, you'll just accept it. It's a two-year process. Everyone goes through it. We all went through it. This is exactly what we went through.
The thing is, too, like, it's you. Like, at least when other people go through it, they have options. We don't have options.
Yeah, no options.
No,
this
no
is
options.
Literally what we're doing forever.
Dude, yeah.
Dude, I have so little options. Because here's the thing. Like, we do have options. Like, another blog could hire us tomorrow. But they wouldn't pay us as well, and it wouldn't be as, like, popular. So we really have no options.
No, we can go down. We can go down in everything, and we can go down in popularity and pay and freedom, and we can go down into a more structured management system. We can go down further. But this is the highest we'll ever be.
Right, the fact that this is the pinnacle is a depressing feeling, yes. I mean,
last year, John, you didn't believe me. Remember when you were like... We were in the hotel room after TBT, and I was like, bro, I'm done. I'm peaked. Like, I didn't win that $25,000. That was, like, my last, like, actual grasp, like, to win the lottery and see, you know, maybe not be in a gambling hole this fall. And I was like, it's over. Like, there's nothing. I got nothing left.
Fights,
I told you that.
You were right now. You're like Dennis Reynolds. You were thinking like I haven't even begun to peak, and you're now hitting the realization you most certainly have.
You peaked so hard, dude. You peaked so long ago, and you don't even know it.
But no, I'll tell you when you peaked, John. Can I tell you when you peaked? When this all started, and it's partly my fault. I said to you, you can come on and work at Barstool New York, but you have to use your name Feitelberg. And I remember you saying like, well, that's it for me because if you Google Feitelberg. Like that, it'll always pop up. So anywhere I ever go again, this name and this Barstool life will stick to it. You peaked right then and there when you said you were Feitelberg.
Yeah, I can never go on to anything else. This is it. I wouldn't put it past Porno. He made you say that just so no writer can ever leave.
I mean, now you're. I mean, literally, he made you change your Twitter handle to Fights Barstool because this is it. This is all you got.
I'm going to kill myself right in this chair, and I'm going to leave a note that says your
fault. Dude, if you kill yourself, make sure you do it on an episode of KFC Radio.
This is really like I'm looking in the mirror. Yep. I'm looking in the mirror of myself 3 years ago.
And now, Dan, you would hope that we're saying this, and you would hope John looks back at us right now and says, well, okay, I could be Dan and Kevin right now. But the fact that he's not is letting me know just how pathetic we are. But guess what? I don't fucking care.
I don't care. Because you know what? At least I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight. Unlike you, John, who's going to be tossing and turning, thinking about your life like a sucker.
He doesn't know life sucks.
I know life sucks. I've always known life sucks. I've always known life.
No.
In your heart.
You're saying the words. Mm-hmm. You don't have the thoughts in your brain.
Yep.
There's a big difference. This is what we're talking about. The acceptance. It's like an old man confidence, you know, where they're just like, who cares? You're missing it.
Right now, John, you are...
I'm usually the better one with that.
What?
I'm usually the better one with who cares out of everybody.
Yeah, no, but you say it, but you never fully accepted it in your heart. You knew it. You're smart. You understand it. But somewhere in your brain and your heart, you were like, but that's not me. I mean, you know, people do like me, and I am successful. No. That now you're really accepting it. And I use this kind of analogy on Mail Time earlier this week. Me and Dan, we're pretty much like the old men at the gym who will just let our balls hang in the locker room because we just don't fucking care. And you're still kind of like got the towel around you, just trying to hide up, and you're trying to be respectful and like. Live a normal life. You just gotta let your balls hang, dude. Just be me.
I've always don't use that analogy on me. I was a fucking locker room guy as a mite. I had a little fucking mite dick, and I'd still be naked in the locker room all the time. I've always been a locker room guy. I'll let the balls hang whenever I want. Thank you very much.
Well, you know what, John? You got that going for you. At least you're a locker room guy. Are you okay to continue, John? Do you think?
Look at me, Kev. Let's do whatever. Do your worst.
I mean, this is great, though, John. This is rock bottom. This is bottom.
Yep.
And you can only go up. But not a lot. You only go up a very little bit.
Yep.
But you'll go up a little.
It's mentally you can go up. You'll physically never be
the same. Oh, yeah, no. Physically it's only going to get worse. It's going to get a lot worse.
Kevin, look at me.
I gotta get a quick screenshot of this one.
Yeah, I can't.
For the people out there.
Damn.
Oh, this is the rock bottom edition. Okay. Let me see if I have any voicemails that kind of
play into this,
Yeah, let me see. Okay, this kind of works, I guess, yeah.
Hey guys, so I saw Furious 7 yesterday. And
Jesus Christ, Kevin. I
bawled my eyes out for the last 10 minutes of it. My question is, what movie most recently made you cry at the end?
Fights. I'm sure this probably triggered some of the depression, too. That little Paul Walker montage at the end of Fast 7 could not have helped the cause.
It very well could have.
Did you like openly weep in the theaters?
Nah.
Did you tear up?
I'm not really a crier. I kind of like welled up a bit, and that wasn't even to be. If I were being perfectly honest, that wasn't so much because of Paul Walker. It was like other shit. I got like a teary eye. Maybe.
Like your depression, you mean? When you say other shit, you mean like your rock bottom depression?
Yeah. But I got teary-eyed. I'm really not much of a crier. I wish I was sometimes, but so I really don't even know the last movie I cried in.
Dan, do you have any?
The last time I openly wept.
I'm trying to think myself. I we've had this conversation before. How I'm like I'm too dumb to like fully get into like the story. I will say like when a dog gets hurt, and I have this weird. It's gotten worse now. You guys have been watching Bloodlines. What episode are you on, Kevin?
I'm only on like two.
Like I now expect dogs to die anytime a dog gets in like even like the the smallest situation. Like what's his name, Coach Taylor?
When that dog went like kind of missing for a
minute. Yeah, he was walking his dog. He's like, come back. He's like, the gate's around here. It was so totally nothing. And I was sitting there like, this dog better fucking come back right now. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, dogs is a surefire tearjerker if anything happens to the dogs. That's actually – most movies and TV shows don't cross that line. You know what I mean? Like it's always like the dog is running away from danger and he just makes it. Because they're like, we're not going to be the maniacs who fucking kill a dog in the middle of a movie. You know what I mean? That's why when House of Cards started off with that dog getting killed, that was like, all right, well, you guys, we're clearly going to watch a sick fucking television show here.
The dog die in I Am Legend? Was that the movie?
Yeah, there is a dead dog in that one. Because he gets like eaten by the zombies or something like that, right?
Yeah, that's probably the last time
I mean, Homeward Bound as a kid and now as an adult will still make me tear up. Rudy gets me. Man on Fire. No, not Man on Fire. John Q. Actually, both. But John Q, when he's talking about his son, I will weep like a baby. And then I think the latest release that will make people cry is this episode of KFC Radio when they listen to John. And they just watch a broken boy and realize his life's over.
That's, if you're 26 to 28 years old, you're going to cry because you're going to realize that's who you are.
Actually, you know what I think is really going to happen? You're going to trigger it for other people, John. What do you think about that? You're like a...
But other people don't... They're not trapped like we're trapped.
Fine. I will agree that they have more freedom to move, but not, like, to great options. If you're like a fucking cube monkey with no real skills, you're not, like, moving up or moving companies like it's going to be a great life change.
I guess.
Basically, all you have left is, like, if you can ever get to the point where you can afford a boat, that's, like, all you got left.
Yeah, I mean, you could, John. One choice is...
Owning a boat sucks, though.
No, but if you just, like, moved to Florida and you were, like, you know, a bartender and you kind of, like, did some fishing on the side and stuff...
Well, speaking of Bloodline, I mean, that's what I've always wanted to do. And that, like, seeing that... That might have been what actually triggered all this. Seeing, like, how glamorous they make alcoholism and how, like, they're just in the sun every day. And, yeah, they got a crazy brother, but, like, they got the life with the inn. And they just sit out in the Keys and drink rum. I decided rum's going to be my drink, my alcohol of the summer, by the way. A little tip for everybody. If you see me, I'll take a rum, please. And that's it. Like, it's just, that's all they do. They sit in the sun and drink and swim. Like, maybe it's the end of the winter. Like, I'm still coming off that seasonal affective disorder. And, like, it's fucking 30 degrees and raining today. It's fucking.
Yeah, I mean, I hope when summer rolls around, you at least shut the fuck up so other people can enjoy themselves.
I'll be dead by then, Kevin.
God. We're going to hate you so much for complaining when we have a life that, like, a lot of people are very envious of.
I don't care.
I know.
That's the first step. Not caring. That's a good answer there, John. That's
fucking complaining. Deal with it. Keith said today that he'll always let me complain to him. So fuck you too. I'm gonna go complain on the Keith show. Fuck that.
The rundown about the rundown. You guys can complain about it.
The reactions to the rundown in the Nate show, the Keith show.
Let me read a quick ad here. Ever wonder why razors are so expensive? Maybe it's because razors are loaded up with too much shave technology. Vibrating handles, 19 blades, a laser pointer. That could also add to your depression, John, if you're still out there paying top dollar for all these blades and you're sitting there and you're sitting like a chump in line at CVS paying like $30 for razors. That would make any man depressed.
Sure would.
So your first step to getting out of this hole, go to DollarShaveClub.com where you can get fresh blades delivered to you anytime you want. Once a month, every other month. You never have to worry about razors again. They give you a free handle, and then they send you replacement blades for just a few bucks. They arrive like clockwork. There's never a dull razor. You never run out. So head over to dollarshaveclub.com/sports. That's dollarshaveclub.com/sports. Because you don't want to become that weird beard guy, John, who just kind of lets yourself go altogether, you know? Got to maintain some semblance of...
I've been shaving a lot.
Good. Keep that up. Because at least, you know, at least you can put on some front of being like a normal human, you know? When on the inside, you're really dying. let me see. We'll just do one more here, and then we'll call it a day, because fights you own today.
Yo, what's going on, KFC? This is Chris from Atlanta. So I've got a buddy that every time he used to bring a girl home, he would fuck her and then wait her out until she passed out and then leave his house completely and walk across the street to another friend's house and pretty much just wait her out until the next day for her to find her own way home because he just never wanted to deal with it. So I was wondering, what's the furthest extent any of you guys have ever gone to get away from a girl that you fucked?
All right, so John, part of this depression may also be your love life. So I'm going to guess that there hasn't been much action right now because I feel like if you were fucking like a hot chick pretty steadily, you wouldn't be this upset. True or false?
No, Kevin, I'm not currently fucking a supermodel on the reg. So great catch there.
So maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe you should go out there and get some ass.
Can't go out, Kev. I'm not drinking.
That's a self-inflicted punishment.
So silly.
Two more weeks and I drink.
So do you think maybe at the end of 2 weeks you'll just kind of just ball out and come out of this, or?
I think I'm going to wait till Memorial Day weekend, and then I'll ball out.
So you'll just – that's a good idea. That's real good, John. Just go in guns blazing into the summer with, like, zero practice for the past few months because you're this fucking sober Sally loser.
Well, no, I'll start drinking, but I mean to really, really go nuts. I'll probably wait to unleash the beast on Memorial Day weekend. I'll probably get fucking kicked out of every bar in Nantucket.
So say you're in Nantucket, you hook up with a chick. How far would you go to just completely avoid her afterwards? Would you do something like this guy, leave the house and go next door?
I did exactly that.
this guy sounds like he does it every time, though.
It's like his move.
No, it's not like my move. That's weird. Usually you don't have to do that anymore, I feel
like. Yeah, usually it's just a pretend like, oh, I got something to do, and then just, you know, delete the number or block. Now, iPhones, I mean, you can block numbers, right?
I will say this. It is a little more difficult nowadays to do that as who we are because it's much more easy to get in touch with us. Like, you can't just delete the number and be like, I'll never see that person again. Like, they know how to find you.
They'll tweet us. They'll fucking find
us. Not
to
say I'm such a fantastic lay where, like, I'm constantly bombarded with tweets. But, like, I've had a girl who I thought, I'm like, all right, never going to see her again. Like, follow me 2 days later. I'm like, ah, fuck, that's fucking...
Well, maybe now she won't because your fight's Barstool.
Oh, man, it's so symbolic. That Twitter change was so symbolic of your life, man. You were John Feitelberg. You were that young pup with brightness in his eyes and a future ahead of him. And then you became Fights Barstool.
I did the last thing you owned in college. I took a girl home. She ended up being like a wicked hippie, like a legit hippie. And so I was like, yo, let's get in the shower. So we're showering. She gives me a blowjob in the shower and I'm shampooing her hair while she's blowing me.
Wow.
And you did
fall from high places, John, because that's pretty awesome.
And I ended up coming during the blowjob, but kids in my hall had stolen all our clothes. So I was like, those assholes, I'll go get towels. And then I just went to my neighbor's room, knocked on his door, and hid in his closet for like 3 hours.
I mean, at some point, you just got to walk away naked, no?
I walked away. I was sitting in the closet naked. He's like, you want clothes? I'm like, nah, I'm good.
And that was the time Feist was in the closet. Now he's out. I think it's best to just leave this episode be so it stands alone as the Feitelberg mental break
I apologize.
No,
this is great. Are you kidding me?
I feel like I've been a real downer today.
Well, you absolutely have been. You can apologize for that. But it made for a great episode of KSU Radio. People are going to – this is going to resonate with people. This is going to trigger mass depression for tons of people aged 25 to 29. Guys like me and Dan are just going to be laughing.
Some people – there will guarantee there will be some stoolies who will watch this and not even realize what they're about to hit, and it will trigger it for them.
Yeah,
because it's really true. After college, first 4 years, that's extended college. You're still in college. Now it's life, bro. Now it's life. It's life. It's for life.
I still stand by college being a funeral for your dreams. So I remember graduating high school. I remember being like, I'm going to fuck this world. Like, this is me. Well, and then once – and then college, it was just drinking and celebrating your dream's death.
And now it's like – dead and in the ground, cremated.
Yeah, and now I'm like, I'll never see them ever again.
No. And you won't. But like we said, you will come to terms with this, and then you just won't care. And you'll be back to your happy-go-lucky self. You'll just be a little bit fatter.
I used to be the annoyingly happy kid. There was a time in my life. In fifth grade, my superlative in the fifth grade yearbook was, can you imagine Feilberg not smiling?
Now look at him now, folks. Look at him just now.
So fucking depressed. I cry on a podcast right now because my life sucks so much.
Can you imagine?
What a day. And meanwhile, it probably doesn't help that that our boss is taking like 17 vacations. So
remember when he used to yell at me for fucking being 10 minutes late for work? He'd have a blog and I was 10 minutes late for work. Motherfucker hasn't been at work in a month.
and let's speak honestly here, Portnoy is absolutely contributing to this. It's miserable. You know, it's miserable working for him.
100%.
Kevin, he's not the contributor. He's the cause. It's you guys are making me seem like the asshole for being caring that I work in an environment where there are rabid animals running around. Let's not bullshit. He's rich, okay? And this is where we fucking work.
He's really rich.
He's so fucking rich, and none of us are.
Rich. He's really rich now. He's like very, very rich now.
And why? I mean, I don't want to. I just want to be like a little bit rich. Like
I want to be a little bit. Yeah, just like a little rich. He's very rich.
I think we've reached the point where we can stop like worrying about the common man tag. He's super rich.
Yes, very rich.
And this is the environment I work in. I work with rabid animals, and if he bites me, I can't go to the hospital because I don't have health insurance.
Right. Well, it's not even that he's rich. It's that he's rich, and he lets you know he's rich.
Yeah, he flaunts it and fucking right in your face.
I used to work for a guy who was very, very rich, and he would, like, split bills with me, which I always thought was, like, such a shitty move. But in a way, it's like, he's still acting normal. Like, Dave is a little rich. He acts like he's
a lot of rich. Yeah. Unbelievable. All right. So, KFC Radio, rock bottom, the death of Feitelberg, the birth of Fight's Barstool in the books. John, keep your head up. I need you each week for this show. So, you know, at the very least, just make sure you don't kill yourself. Or give me a heads up if you do so I know how to replace you on the show, okay? Later.
So sad. All right, later.
Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feitelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.